quote, violent nuts are allowed to roam free until they do damage, no matter how threatening they are. O'Reilly saying Americans have a right to arm themselves for protection, adding, even the loons. He says public safety demands logical gun laws, noting the issue is so polarizing, though, and so emotional that little will be accomplished because there's no common ground. I'm Chris Barnes.
Former Equifax CEO Richard Smith on the hot seat in Congress after his company's massive data breach. In a House hearing today, Smith called it a criminal hack and took full responsibility. Smith also issued a full apology. He said Equifax is committed to making things right. Smith said a combination of human error and technological error opened the door to hackers. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
The month of October is a month for a big push on breast cancer awareness. Correspondent Chris Barnes with more.
You will be seeing lots of people sporting pink ribbons and other gear this month as a way to raise awareness about breast cancer, the importance of early detection, and treatment options for those who find they have it. It's estimated close to 250,000 people in the United States are diagnosed with some form of breast cancer every year. Of those, roughly 41,000 will die. I'm Chris Barnes.
The National Rifle Association is pulling back on some of their advertising in a particular election because of the events in Las Vegas. Here's Doug Parrish.
Virginia's governor's race has caught national attention, being it's one of the few marquee elections in the country this year. And the NRA has invested heavily in Republican candidate Ed Gillespie. The Washington Post reports the NRA was about to launch a series of ads supporting Gillespie, who has an A rating from the gun rights group. The NRA will now reportedly delay those ads for at least a week. Meanwhile, the Democrat in the race, Ralph Northam, has put off a series of events focused on gun control. Northam was among many across the country who said Monday that the latest mass shooting tragedy requires more than just prayers.
It's not cheap to get your money out of an ATM. The latest survey by Bankrate.com shows the average fee to use an ATM outside of your own bank's network is a record $4.69. Fees are even higher in the nation's largest metro areas. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by welcoming back George Lutz, the founder of Honor and Remember. Then Brad Owen will share more of the cover-up about Benghazi. This is going to disgust you. Naturally, Quinton Roberts and I will review last week's Service Academy football games, and we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Frontlines of Freedom is proud to be a part of the Eisenhower Center After the Impact team. They really do great things for our troops with traumatic brain injury. Yeah, they help professional athletes and first responders, too. And money's not an issue. They just help people. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a privilege to welcome back to the show George Lutz. George is the founder of Honor and Remember, a wonderful organization. Glad to have you back, George.
Well, thanks, Denny. It's an honor to be with you and your listeners.
You know, I was honored this past weekend to participate in presenting Honor and Remember flags to 8 families here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. To say that it was a time of pride and emotion would be a gross understatement. George, start by telling us about your son and why you founded Honor and Remember.
Yeah, absolutely, Denny. On December 29th of 2005, I basically got that dreaded knock on the door when two uniformed officers came and brought me 5, you know, very simple words: "We regret to inform you." You know, my son had been killed that day, you know, by a sniper in Fallujah, Iraq. And, you know, he had been in the Army for about a year and a half, just enough time to go through training and advanced training and get geared up to and deployed, you know, overseas and there for 6 weeks. And, you know, he just wasn't coming home. And that is a moment that a military family does not want to hear. You know, those words are just devastating. And I basically went into this gloom, if you will, into this numbness for a while. And one of the burning questions in my mind was how do Americans remember? You know, what do we do to remember those that give their lives? And for those families, as many families that hear those words and are here grieving. And that kind of led me to establish a national, tangible, you know, visual of remembrance. And it was the creating of the Honor and Remember flag, a symbol that I thought was needed in America, a symbol that I thought that Americans needed to have in order to express themselves, you know, in a way of saying thank you. Because, you know, there are so many things out there that we utilize to say different things, you know, banners and bumper stickers. And one of the things I found was there were all kinds of ways of appreciating our active duty and our veterans. But when it came to our fallen military, we fell very, very short as a nation. And I thought, hey, you know what? It would be really nice if I knew as a grieving dad that my neighbor or a business or an organization showed their appreciation for my son's sacrifice and for so many others. And so that led to the creation of this flag, the Honor and Remember flag, which we hoped would be a national symbol recognizing our military fallen from all generations.
And as I understand the standard, George, if a service member dies while in uniform, it doesn't have to be combat, they are eligible to apply.
What you're asking me now has to do with a benevolent portion of our mission, and that is a presentation of special flags. So it's kind of a twofold mission here. One is that we want this flag to be flown by everyone. Whether they're in the military, out of the military, makes no difference, because the flag itself stands as a personal statement of thanks. The second thing is that as an organization, it is our goal to make sure that we personally say thank you to every fallen service member's family. We do that by the presentation of a personalized, handmade version of this flag. And so, in speaking to your statement, the eligibility of that would be any family who has lost a loved one while serving or as a result of serving. It could be in any other means of result of cause, such as PTSD. And so that is the eligibility of actually having a flag being presented to a family member. And we have hundreds and hundreds of families waiting on a list to get a flag. And over the last number of years, we've presented nearly 3,000 personalized flags, of which you had the honor of being involved with 8 of them.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing honoring those who died while wearing our nation's uniform with George Lutz. Anybody can get a flag and fly it. Indeed, I have a flag. I fly from my flagpole, and I've never lost anybody in the service. I just fly it from my flagpole because I have an American flag, and right under it's an honor and remember flag. But if you have lost a loved one, you can apply for a personalized one. And I know you're a nonprofit, and I know you pay a lot for those flags, so we need to raise money. You've got some good sponsors, but you can always use more. You mentioned waiting lists. Therefore, obviously, you could use more money, right?
Absolutely, Denny. As I say, we've got nearly 1,000 families waiting on a list, and we present an average of one flag every day. So we're very active in honoring families throughout the year. But we get new requests in every day. Unfortunately, casualties continue to occur. There's a lot of news about suicide rate and the effect of emotional trauma on our military. We have past generations of families. This is not a current generation only flag, but we have and do present flags to families from past generations. And so absolutely, we need a lot of support, or ongoing support. And a lot of that can be found, information can be found on our website, honorandremember.org. We have an online form where families can go and request a flag themselves, or if you just want to fly it, a generic version, you can purchase one there as well.
And I recommend you purchase one, folks, and fly it from your flagpole if you have one, because that raises questions. People come by and say, well, what's that flag? Tell me about it. And guess what? I do. And that helps spread the word. But what this is really about is honoring those families. And if you know someone, if you are a family, honorandremember.org is the secret to it. We got about a minute left. George, wrap it up. Give us a concluding thought.
Well, one thing I did want to mention and not forget is this national event that we've created called America's Run for the Fallen. We are going to be doing a foot run from San Diego area of California across America through to Arlington National Cemetery. It's going to be through 19 states over 5 months, over 6,000 miles. And every mile we're going to stop and call out loud the name of fallen service members, starting with the USS Cole. We have nearly 20,000 names of fallen service members, and this is going to be the most comprehensive, organized veteran fallen tribute ever put together. And we would like everyone listening out there to go to the website, runforthefallen.org, and see how they could help, be a part of this, be along our route somehow, host us. There's dozens and dozens of ways that they could be a part of it. But this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime, one of the most significant tributes that I have ever seen put together.
Runforthefallen.org. George, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you so much for being a leader in reaching out to the community that's hurting. I'm proud to call you friend.
Thank you, Denny. God bless you.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we're going to learn the rest of the story about Benghazi. Some new lies have been uncovered. Then we're going to review last week's Service Academy football games and predict the results of this week's games. If you're reporting for duty to Front Lines of Freedom, troops, I'll be right back. Hit the deck and do an easy, slow 50 sit-ups, holding a 50-pound weight behind your head. I mean it. I want you to lean and mean. Let's build that six-pack. I'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised 4 teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's Benghazi time. Brad Owens of the Torres Forum was personally on the ground in Benghazi 6 months before the raid and was in charge of gearing up to take over the guard duty. So he knows a bit about the topic. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Brad.
Thank you for having me, Colonel.
Hey, my pleasure. Brad, what's your background? Were you in the military? How did you get into this business?
Yeah, I was in for 25 years. I joined in 91 and was a combat medic when I first joined, switched to military intelligence and stuck with that the rest of my career, a couple of years into it. Been lots of places, spent a year in Korea, Bosnia, OEF, OIF, and a lot of years as a contractor since then. My background's military intelligence support.
Okay, so you were in the Army, and when you went out, you stayed in it at the contractor level, and that's how you got involved with the Torres firm. That makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. So, well, I was overseas working. I'd gotten a job overseas working in what was called a local guard force. I was a project manager for that in West Africa. And Torres AES had gotten into man guarding and armed security in Iraq and Afghanistan. They had a lot of local nationals from Sierra Leone, Zambia, Uganda, and Kenya working for them. So I got a job managing, vetting those guys, recruiting them and training them in those different countries, and deploying them downrange, redeploying them, that sort of thing. That's how I first got, you know, hooked up with Torres.
Okay. And Torres is just a major contractor that does security-type work around the world, right?
Right. now, primarily, we do diplomatic security support with the local Guard Force. So I like to refer to the local Guard Forces there, which are local nationals hired and trained and deployed by guys like us, as the sort of the TSA, you know, run the magnetrons, the walk-through metal detectors, X-ray machines, and the sally ports where we search cars and stuff. So we're the front line of defense is what we do now.
Okay, let's talk about Benghazi. You guys got involved before the attack, didn't you?
Yeah, I was on the ground in the middle of 2011, just after the right about the time that Tripoli fell. I took a team in from Tunisia. We, you know, in the military, we use the term leaning forward in the foxhole. That's what we were doing. I was taking a team in to be prepared for when some of these requirements came out from State Department and DOD on the ground there. Post-conflict zones are always difficult for us to operate in, so we try to help where we can. So I was there for quite a few months between the fall of Tripoli and even a couple of months after Gaddafi was killed. After Gaddafi was killed, the security situation in all of Libya, especially Tripoli, began to deteriorate rapidly because the Katibas, which is the word for militia that they use, you know, once the new government had been seated, there was guys that were happy about it, guys that weren't happy about it. So, of course, you know, you got whenever you have a bunch of militias hanging around with competing interests and a bunch of guns, you know, they start fighting each other. So we end up in a situation where Tripoli was might have to be evacuated. Now, I was in Zambia at the time. We had another contract there, and I was down helping stand that up. And we had gotten word they had what's called a fallback consulate. That's what this compound was in Benghazi. It was meant to be a place where if it got too hot in Tripoli, the diplomatic mission could stay in country, just shift to a different location. That's the way it was explained to us. So what we did was we turned around, and the request for proposals came out in February 2012. So I took what's called a site visit. When you're a contractor, you're going to bid on one of these things as a vendor. They will let you visit the actual compound. So I was on the compound there where the ambassador and Mr. Smith and Mr. Doherty and Mr. Woods were killed. I like to say their names because they're not cardboard cutouts. They were real human beings. All life is I believe, in the sanctity of human life. And these are people of substance, lives of values. So I like to say their names. I was on that compound. Now, we were the sole competitor the first time it was let. We had a local partner, which is the only surviving security company on the ground called Atlas Security. Now, the State Department is very strict on this. You have to have a legitimate license to operate in whatever country you're in, whatever host nation you're in, to do one of these contracts. And so we were literally the only legitimate licensed company. We had a teaming agreement with Atlas we had got when I first got there. So we bid on it. And the bureaucrats in Roslyn, Virginia, you know, safe in Roslyn, in their infinite wisdom, decided to rebid it. Again, we had a lot of, you know, large background with this, lots of places, 49 different contracts at that point around the world, in high threat areas to low threat areas. They allowed this firm, it was a British firm, well, a UK firm out of Wales, bid against us on the rebid and beat us by 4 percentage points. So we decided not to push back on. We just said we'll get another bite at the apple, you know, next year. Fast forward 6 months. 12 days before the attacks, our director of operations was in Roslyn, Virginia, at the State Department building where these contractors are, contracting officers. We had won the Pakistan embassy and consulate to provide security, and we were having a series of meetings. It's a very large contract. So what happened was they turned around, and they pulled him out of this meeting. Now, Jan Vissentainer, who was the contracting officer over the Libya bid, pulled him out and said, could you perform in Libya? Now, we'd only bid on one contract in Libya, so we know what it was. We, of course, said yes. They put my team in motion. When I was going to go back in, it would have been me with 6 former long-tab Green Berets to do what's called a transition into stand-up. We had local nationals that we had worked with during the conflict there that were all British, U.S., European expats. There's a curious point on this that's interesting is that it was an unarmed contract. When it was put out, even though the security situation was, you know, terrible there on the ground, very terribly dangerous, and it had already been other attacks and other missions, this was put out as an unarmed contract. That's never been explained. That's another weird thing. So anyway, we were asked to come in and take it over. We have to get what's called a notice to proceed from state before we can do anything. So we started calling up every day after that. Can we go? Can we go? Are we ready? And 12 days later, unfortunately, the 4 gentlemen were killed. Okay. So we would have been able to get in there. We would have been able to transition probably in about 30 days. I would have had my team on the ground within a couple of days. had they given us the word, but they didn't. Fast forward to the first quarter of 2013, just a few months after that. Jerry Torres, who's the owner of Torres AES, was pulled back. He was called back from overseas to go to the State Department about an issue. They didn't tell him what it was about. It was a boring meeting, nothing important. As he was leaving, Jan Vicentainer pulls him aside right before the security turnstiles and says, Jerry, this is paraphrased now, Jerry, we're going to need you to be in lockstep with us on this Benghazi issue. Don't talk to the press. Don't talk to anybody looking into it. If you have to talk to somebody about it, you know, inferring we were subpoenaed, then go along with the idea that it should have been unarmed. And you've been winning a lot of contracts for this past couple of years. You're doing a good job. We really need you to be a team player with us on this. So it's very much an implied threat. And so now with the change of administrations, we think this is the right time to come forward and tell what we know, which is what we're doing.
So what I think I just heard you say was this was as poorly run, poorly managed as it could possibly be, and that would be if it was not a hyper-dangerous situation when it was a hyper-dangerous situation. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. Either it was gross negligence or ineptness. Either way, we think the people that were responsible for it in contracting should be fired. This proves that if you're a tenured bureaucrat in the federal government, you can make mistakes up to and including getting people killed and nothing happens to you. Nobody was fired over this colonel.
That's outrageous. Brad, thank you for taking time to join us today to bring us up to speed on this information. I sincerely hope the folks in Washington do their jobs on this. Thank you guys for coming forward. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Colonel.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, it's time for Service Academy football. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow. Then take a break and do 20 more, then stand at ease. But stay in the area. I'll be right back. Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service back into the workforce. In fact, we were recently named as a certified veteran-friendly employer, emphasizing our commitment to hire, train, and retain those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us.
Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's not about me. It's about these incredible people from the military to FEMA, the first responders. I mean, I've never seen people working so hard in my life.
President Trump on the ground in Puerto Rico surveying the damage from Hurricane Maria and also the efforts to get relief into areas that most need it. The president praised the governor of the island.
Your governor has been who I didn't know. I heard very good things about him. He's not even from my party, and he started right at the beginning appreciating what we did.
The investigation continuing into the mass shooting in Las Vegas has left 59 people dead. Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman says she has a resilient city that will bounce back.
This has been a resilient community who will not be defined by the sick, disgusting human being. I will never mention his name.
Get all the latest news online at usaradio.com.